Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Welcome you to Words of Grace today. I'm so very thankful that you've tuned in. In fact, if you're a listener of this radio ministry and it's been a blessing to you, I'd love to hear from you. You can find a variety of ways to get in contact with us on our church website found at flintriverpbc.org. You can do that by sending a letter to 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741. You can email me. You can find me on social media. You can follow Flint River Primitive Baptist Church on Facebook. And you can also follow my personal ministry, MarchToZion.com, on Facebook and YouTube. Through whichever means that you desire to get in contact with us, we would love to hear from you. It is Thanksgiving after all, and one of the things that I want to express to you today is that I'm thankful for each and every one of you as radio listeners. If Words of Grace is a part of your life, either over the airwaves or by way of our podcast, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you give me a portion of your week so I can tell you something about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means the world to me, and you should know that. So for this Thanksgiving, I do want to say that I'm very thankful for you all, and I would be thankful to hear from you if you feel so inclined to reach out and let me know Words of Grace has been a blessing.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nesting bird or star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. Neither life nor death shall end.
Broadcast today is entitled The Brothers and Sisters of Christ. Today I'm going to be sharing with you the message that I delivered last Sunday at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. To give you the backstory, what placed this particular thought in my mind, our church recently said goodbye to a dear sister in our congregation. It's always sad when we have to say goodbye for a while to people who go to church with us. But in this case, the sister who passed away was not even yet 60 years old. She was but 57, and such an untimely death is that it is a very tragic and painful thing. At her memorial service, one of the things that stuck out the most to me was the fact that we continued to refer to her as sister, and as we spoke to others who were there from our church, we referred to them as brother or sister so-and-so. Now, this is a common practice among our churches, but for some reason in that moment, saying goodbye to a sister in Christ, it put the thought in my mind from Jesus' ministry, in which Jesus says, "Who are my brothers and sisters?" My brothers and sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it. In this message from the book of Luke chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 12, we look into that statement by Jesus as his mother and brothers come to him and attempt to speak to him. To be very clear, Jesus is not intending to disrespect or downplay the role of his mother. He isn't being disrespectful to his family. But at all times in Jesus' ministry, there are other things that are taking place. Jesus must be out and about the will of his Father, and there is a spiritual sort of family tie, as it were, that transcends the physical family ties that you and I all understand as human beings. And so Jesus says those who hear the word of God and do it, those are his brothers and sisters in a spiritual sense. In this message, we also speak to the fact that Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and because of that, he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And then lastly, we conclude on a very needful exhortation. If we are indeed brothers and sisters of Jesus, and we are brothers and sisters one to another in Christ, that should affect the way that we treat one another in the house of God. Here is today's message, the brothers and sisters of Christ. I want to speak to you today about Jesus' brothers and sisters. Jesus' brothers and sisters. We commonly call people in the church by that term, and I'll just tell you, it's not necessarily mandatory in all communications. Sometimes we drop the formality of brother or sister, and we just call one another by our first names, but let's always keep that formality there in our communications with one another, brother or sister so-and-so. Now, when I say that it's not a mandatory communication, the only time in the Bible that anyone was referred to as a title, brother so-and-so, how many of you know it? It's in the book of Acts, chapter 9, after the Lord changes Saul of Tarsus and quickens him on the road to Damascus. As that man is changed from a hater and persecutor of Christ, all by God's work, without the help of anybody else, to the man who would go on to be the apostle to the Gentiles, as he is sitting there in a room waiting on a Christian to come to him and to get him and to preach to him and to baptize him, this man, Ananias, comes up to him. He places his hand on him and he says what? Brother Saul. Now, in the case here, Sosthenes, our brother, you have where men are referred to as brothers, you have where women are referred to as sisters, and we consider each other the brothers and sisters of Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. But as far as an actual title, that does have scriptural precedent, as you see in chapter 9. Saul is brother Saul. You are brother and sister so-and-so. But if you want to call me something, call me in time for dinner, but call me brother. Call me brother. I like to hear Brother Ben. I love to hear that because you're saying something about me when you say that. But the passage that I want to share with you today has to do when Jesus referred to people as his brothers and his sisters and even his mother. And it's an interesting passage. We've recently been kind of picking different stories, accounts of Jesus' ministry from the Gospel of Luke, and you can find this one, albeit a more abbreviated case,
a more abbreviated rendition of it in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Find in verse 19, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press," and that word press there means for the great number of people that are around him. I'm sure you and I have all been in some sort of a crowd where you just cannot break through the people and get through the crowd to wherever it is that you want to go. It's college football season, and bless your heart, some of you go to college football games. I go to watch the band. If I'm at a high school football game, I'm there to watch the band. If I'm at a college football game, I'm there to watch the band, and I cheer for both bands. And in fact, I'll be yelling, "Go band." I really don't care that much about sports anymore, but I'm always there for the band. But if you're trying to navigate a college football stadium, it's a difficult thing at times because there are just people everywhere. You're trying to get concessions. You're trying to get to the restroom. That's what's happening around Jesus. And because of that, his mother and his brothers can't make their way through. But it's told to Jesus, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which do the word of God," or hear the word of God rather, "and do it." Those which hear the word of God and do it. That's an abbreviated version. If you turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 12, you find a little bit more in-depth version. This is opposite of a story we looked at a couple of weeks ago when the more abbreviated version was in Matthew and the more in-depth version was in the Gospel of Luke. In verse 46, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother?" That's information that Luke didn't give us. "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples. He motions to his disciples. And he said, "Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." You notice that Jesus didn't say, "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my father." Because who is Jesus' father? His father in heaven. He is eternally the Son of God. He's the eternal Son of God. God exists for all of eternity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one, and yet these three are three persons, co-eternal, co-equal. And you know, I don't have time to go on the five-minute tangent I want to about that. We're well-versed in it here. Jesus doesn't say that because no one else has that title. But who is there waiting to see him? His mother and his brothers. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 13 and I believe verse 55, we see the identity of his brethren. His mother is Mary. We know that. His brethren are James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. Christians have debated for two millennia whether these are children that Mary had with Joseph after Jesus was born, or if this is I'm going to borrow the way my wife's family talks about it, a litter that Joseph had before getting a spouse to Mary. Some would say that these are Mary's children with Joseph after Jesus was born. Some would say that they're Joseph's children from a prior relationship. That's debated, and I think we should acknowledge it, even which of those opinions that we hold to. But those are the names of the people. They're trying to get to Jesus. They want to talk to Jesus. Now, Jesus' response here, I'm just going to tell you, is one of the most puzzling responses, one of the most puzzling statements to me personally that Jesus made in his entire ministry the first time I read it. Jesus has no disrespect to his mother. This is not intended to communicate disrespect to his mother. He is not being disrespectful to his family. He is not speaking of his mother with disdain. I want you to understand this. In every opportunity that I ever get, I will do this. Mary is the most blessed woman who has ever lived on this planet. Mary is blessed. Hail thou that are highly favored among women. The Lord is with thee. Luke chapter 1. She is a woman who is more favored than any other woman who's ever lived. When God looked down from heaven in his sovereignty, he chose this one woman to be the vessel through which his son would be born into this world. No other woman can say that. This is the most blessed woman that has ever lived. Jesus is not being disrespectful to his mother. Jesus is so concerned with his mother's well-being that one of the few things that he said upon the cross was to give his mother's care to the youngest disciple who would live the longest, John the Apostle. Woman, behold thy son. And you think, well, he's saying, look at me, mom. No, he's looking at John. He can't point at him because he's nailed to the tree, but he's signaling, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And from that moment on, Mary lived where? She was taken care of by John. And I find it no irony then that John is the only apostle that didn't see death, because what's the promise that's given with caring for your father or your mother? It might be long with you. Imagine being the one who voluntarily took the care of the mother of our Lord. This is the most blessed woman that ever lived. Jesus is not being disrespectful to her. However, he's teaching a principle that would arise multiple times in his ministry. There is a sort of connection that we have with him as brothers and sisters in Christ that transcends the physical relationships of father and mother and brother and sister, son and daughter. If you have children in the church or your parents are believers, praise God, because you've got double the relationship with them and the connection with them that you would have had otherwise if it were merely a natural connection. I want you to thank God right now if you have family that you love who are also family in Christ. That's a great blessing. But these spiritual connections transcend the physical connections that we have one with another. When Jesus was a 12-year-old, his family goes to Jerusalem. They go to keep the feasts. They go to keep the festivals. They get a couple of days away, and they noticed Jesus is not with us. Now, you can imagine the panic at losing a child. Has that ever happened to you where suddenly, and it worked out okay, but you don't know where your kid is? One time, we were at the beach, and you want to talk about your heart sinking, little toddler Elijah. He runs up to me from Rachel at the surf, and then he goes back to Rachel, and he's headed right to her. I look down, and I look back up, and he's not in front of me, and he's not with her. You want to talk about a panic attack? Because I didn't just lose him in the front yard. This is an ocean, and it's unforgiving. I jump up, and I'm hollering for Rachel, and all of a sudden, the couple to our left says, hey, hey, he wandered over here. He walked to her, decided halfway there he wanted to stay with Dad, but he kind of meandered a little bit and ended up to the left, not knowing where he was either. Talk about a panic attack. These people lose Jesus. You got one job, Mom and Dad, and it's God has given you his eternal son to look out for, and you lose Jesus. One time, Lydia and one of her friends, Grace, were here hanging out at our annual meeting. It was here we had John Burkett as our guest speaker. They were hanging out in the cry room being girls. Well, we're over here in the fellowship hall and everybody leaves. It's after a night service and I get in my car with John and we drive home. We get to the second set of railroad tracks and he says, hey, didn't you have another kid with you were supposed to bring? I was the one that locked up the building. I turn around, and I mean, we're racing back down this road. She has never let me forget that. Dad, you remember that time you left me at church? I've known family, preachers' families, leave their kids at funeral homes, at actual funerals. So, hey, it's at least not that traumatizing. I don't think she realized, this is Lydia we're talking about here, I don't think she realized that we were even gone. Talk about a panic attack, though. And I knew where she was safe. They're 2 days away. They rush all the way back. And what's Jesus doing? He's talking with the scribes and the lawyers and the doctors of the law, the theologians. And his mother's like, "Son, do you not know what you've done to your father and me?" Because Joseph is his adopted father. And he says, "Am I not supposed to be out and about my father's business?" And they're confused. But Jesus spoke of his responsibility to his father in heaven. Spiritual parallel to the physical ties that we have as brethren and sisters. But let's think about this perhaps in a little deeper of a way that I find even more puzzling. We like to emphasize the relational ties that we have with God and with Christ in our pulpits. We often refer to one another as children of God, correct? We'll talk about the fact that you are the bride of Christ. We like to emphasize the roles of Jesus in our lives, especially older preachers. You probably can remember older preachers talking about Jesus as our prophet, as our priest, as our king, our shepherd, our husband, our friend. One of the things that I remember hearing when I was a little boy that I don't hear as emphasized anymore is that Jesus is also our elder brother, our elder brother. That's mind-blowing. My brothers and sisters are those who know the Word of God, who hear the Word of God, and do it. Now, we know the theology behind that. We know that we do the things that we do from the heart in service of God because He's taken our hard and stony heart and given us a heart of flesh, just like Saul of Tarsus. He's unregenerate, and then Jesus approaches him, strikes him down, arrests him by His grace. We know that. And so we know that those who do the Word of God, they have gone through a miraculous change from death and sin to life in Christ. And so these are declarative statements really intended to give you sweet assurance as you follow Jesus that you belong to Him as you plug in the theology of why. But fathom that thought for just a moment. We consider each other brothers and sisters, one of another. But not only are we brothers and sisters one to another, Jesus considers you His brothers and His sisters. Does that give you goosebumps to think about it? It just did me. Jesus considers you His brothers and His sister. And even you notice here, who is my mother? My brothers and sisters and mother are those who hear the Word and do it. Not that you literally become Mary, but think about it. What's a title that you might have in mind for an older sister who is a great mentor, who has been there for you and taught you and trained you and loved you? What do we call those? Something in Israel. Mothers in Israel. Mothers in Israel. This familial tie that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, even extends to the point of Jesus being our elder brother. Now, Jesus saying that is enough of a proof, but I want you to notice how this plays out in theological terms from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2:10, "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." That's another title for Jesus that I hope that you know and love. The captain of our salvation. The commander of our salvation. Did you know you're not the captain of your salvation? What does a captain do? Well, he pilots a ship. You know you're not in command of that ship? Who is in command of that ship? Jesus is in command of that ship. A passage that I almost spoke on today was, "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord," from Philippians. Who performs it? The same one that has begun it. You could tie in Hebrews 12. He's the author of our faith, but what is he also? The finisher of our faith. Who's the captain of your salvation? Jesus is at the helm. It is finished. He is victorious. And he's the captain of your salvation. For both he that sanctifieth and he who are sanctified are all of one. Look at this. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Because Jesus is a successful Savior and the captain of your salvation, he is not ashamed to call you his brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brethren and sisters because he has captained your salvation, because he has finished the work, because he has sanctified you, because he has washed you whiter than snow. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to thee, citing the Old Testament. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I want to end our message today with an exhortation. You've seen the puzzling mystery, my brothers and sisters, who are they? Jesus knows who they are. He knows who his mother is, and he's not disrespecting them, but he's teaching you something greater than physical ties, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're even the brethren and sisters of Christ in this mysterious spiritual sense. You've seen the theology of it, that he's not ashamed to call you his brethren because God has given you to him. He has sanctified you in his Son. If we are brothers and sisters in Christ, it ought also to change the way that we interact one with another. There are multiple references in the New Testament about brotherly love, but I just want to give you this one also in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. We sang it and we read it from Scripture today about brethren dwelling together in what? Unity. What are the descriptive terms of that? How good, how pleasant, how wonderful it is when brothers and sisters in Christ dwell together in unity. And so we conclude today with this exhortation. Let brotherly love continue. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for our sweet hour of prayer today. Thank you for the thoughts from Scripture that have gone forth before us. Thank you for the various passages that were read, the instruction that was given. Thank you for the wonderful song service that we enjoyed. What a wonderful, uplifting, and soul-refreshing time after such a sad week among our congregation. We thank you, Father, that you let us know through your word that we are brothers and sisters, and not only one to another, but we are brothers and sisters, in a sense, of our Savior Jesus, our elder brother. What a mystery, what a marvel that is. We pray, Father, that we would walk worthy of our vocation, walk worthy of our calling, and we pray, Lord, that we would let brotherly love continue, that we would dwell together in this place in unity. Forgive us of our many sins, we pray. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.